Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. According to Luke, it's now 40 days after Jesus' birth, and after 8 days, Jesus had been circumcised and named according to the Jewish law. And now, 32 days later, his parents are again performing their duty as faithful Jews by returning to the temple. This time in order to offer a sacrifice and to consecrate their child to the Lord. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah.
Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took in his arms and praised God, saying,
"Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel."
And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him.
Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary,
"This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem.
A baby almost always captures our attention. 2 weeks ago, we watched as Charlie and Robin Patterson, dressed as Joseph and Mary, carried their beautiful young child forward as Jesus in our Christmas pageant. She was so tiny, so amazing. She was such a blessing. And next week, the Pattersons will bring their daughter Sydney and son Max to be dedicated here. We will again be mesmerized, I'm sure, for we marvel at the blessing of a child. There is this sacredness that has no words. You can sense this mysterious life and your own mysterious life at the same time, I think. Now, Simeon, holding the baby Jesus in the temple, surely did not comprehend this mystery in his arms. But he allowed for the possibilities of God's power to unfold in ways that he could only imagine. But he could not imagine, but hope for. Author Kate Huey writes, "The shepherds, the angels, and the heavenly host are gone now, and Joseph and Mary have a baby to raise. As devout Jews, they take Jesus first for circumcision and then naming. And now they've come to the temple in Jerusalem for Mary's purification and Jesus' presentation as this firstborn male to be consecrated to God. Jesus was raised in full obedience to the law of Moses within this Jewish religious tradition that praises and honors God in all of life. Mary and Joseph, you know, lived within this covenant community, and they sought to fulfill the vows they had made, as well as to introduce their son into this community. We could describe this holy family as devout and observant, and we know that they are poor because their offering was just two turtle doves instead of a lamb. But in that temple, they encounter two old saints, Simeon and Anna, Israel at its best, those who are devout and obedient, very constant in prayer, and led by the Holy Spirit, all at home here in the temple. I can feel what Huey describes. She says they embody what have been called the wonders of waiting. The wonders of waiting. Perhaps Mary's first amazement was that Simeon addressed her at all. For you know, it was unusual for men to talk with women, especially ones they didn't know, especially in public. And Luke tells us that Simeon has been assured by the Holy Spirit that he won't die until he sees the Messiah. So when this big moment arrives, Simeon has the insight, this gift, of recognizing what he has been waiting for all along. He's holding this baby, not just seeing a baby, but he sees the salvation of God. The glory for the people of Israel, for the Gentiles, for all children of God. Imagine this older man cradling the infant Jesus in his arms, and he is able to see, to truly see. Yes, God didn't come down as a powerful emperor or rich man, but God comes as this baby. And Simeon, like Mary and Zechariah before him, breaks into song, praising God, and he asks to be released from his waiting. In his very eyes, he has seen the Lord. He sees within and beyond this baby to God's hand at work in the world. Huey says she had a significant conversation with a blind colleague who had lost his eyesight many years before. They talked about this scripture reading, about the ability of Simeon to see more than a baby in his arms. The colleague said that his own inability to see with his eyes is sometimes a gift because it enables him to not be distracted by things that might keep him from seeing to the heart of things. Whenever he would say that something was gorgeous, he explained that his heart sees what he cannot see. He said that he has the ability to see the beauty of creation instead of ugliness, because he can only see with his heart and his mind and his soul. Most of all, he tries to see to the heart of each person that he encounters. So the things that matter to the world matter very little to him. He looks instead within the person to the Christ within. He believes that we're each called to see, to behold, to this promise of God's grace and the Christ in each other, which helps us to understand better Jesus' teachings about things like loving our enemies and having the reign of God within us. Simeon was open to what was to come, and we are aware that he also sees beyond this beautiful baby to also the shadow side, the heartache and the pain that Mary will experience. And he knows that his own life will now come to an end. Well, Anna, too, has this gift of seeing, of recognizing God's hand at work, doing not so much a new thing, but keeping an old promise in a new day. We do not get to hear her words, but we hear that she went around praising God and telling everyone about the great thing that God was doing right in their midst. The great thing she had waited for so faithfully. She saw with her heart and her soul and her mind. So today, as we are offered this bread and cup, we could just see the bread and that cup of juice, or you can see well beyond what you will hold. It is the promise of God who came in this tiny baby, and it is the blessing that feeds us. This blessing, our song of praise. And we can imagine that in this bread and this cup is the one who reveals God's dream for our world. When Anna and Simeon looked at that baby, they saw grace. They saw hope. May we be filled with those possibilities as we eat and drink today. Yes, these are uncertain, even scary times, here on the brink of this new year. But these are the times when the church must know that we must be faithful in new directions, even if those directions are painful and maybe even terrifying. But I believe that these can also be hopeful times because we can have a glimpse of what the promises of God could be unfolding in our midst. We are encouraged to look beyond the uncertainties and the fears and the criticisms. We can set off into this new year with our eyes open and our souls and our hearts and our minds fixed on Jesus, on the very example that he set for us. As he welcomed all of God's children and healed them and fed them and called everyone to follow. Simeon looked beyond the child Jesus as a baby and saw the Christ, the promised one. May we too be challenged again to see the Christ in one another, in every person. Huey challenges me as she writes, wouldn't it transform our relationships and our churches, our families, our whole nation and world if we could see the potential in each person as a gift of God who has a role in the unfolding of God's promises and plan in our midst? So we are invited to take and eat, feeding ourselves to take in the gift of God among us, to take and eat, singing our praises for another new year in which we can see with our heart and our soul and our mind. Will you take a few moments to pray for yourself in this new year? To help yourself to see with the eyes of Christ. Join me in a few moments of silent, reflective prayer. Jesus, we know that God loves us. knows us, cherishes us, loves us. Through Jesus, we believe and trust that God is faithful and true. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are worthy, but because you are hungry. Not because you are ready, but because you are thirsty. Come because Christ invites every one of us, saying, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Let us sing our prayer together, our sacred mystery.